Hello, this is the first in a series of audio snippets that I'd like to record and share with whoever is willing or interested in listening to them. These snippets are regarding the current state of the American nation. My motivation for making these recordings is my sense of sadness, frustration, and utter dismay at the decline of the American nation and how it's falling apart before our eyes. And yes, this decline has been going on for decades and decades, and it became much steeper around 2009. And we reached a plateau maybe between 2017 and 2019. But then around 2020, we started going on another big nosedive, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And what frustrates me about this is the fact that despite everything that has happened, everything going on around us, it's as if no one seems to be learning from what has been happening. We're being pummeled and we're being hit in the head and hit all over the place over and over and over again. And we keep coming up with the same trite solutions, the same trite ideas, thinking that they will somehow save the day and get us out of our current situation. And that's what frustrates me. We're like a bunch of stupid and stubborn students who are unwilling to learn from our lesson. And we just keep repeating the same patterns of behaviors and ideas and ideologies over and over and over again. So this is the reason why I feel the need to share about the things that need to be changed. There's a fundamental problem with the structure of the American nation. And forget all the success that America as a nation has had. Forget all of that. Because if we keep going back to those glory days and how great things were in the past, we will never, ever get out of this mess. And we will go on a decline from which we will never recover. There are fundamental structural problems that we have been that we have in this nation, and they've been there from the founding of the nation. And we've been able to coast along and survive and thrive in many ways over the last 250 plus years. But eventually, those fundamental structural flaws in our ship have begun to catch up with us. And I know the conservatives always look to liberals and say, hey, it's those evil liberals who are destroying our nation and doing all this, that, and the other. And yes, that is true. The liberals are destroying this country. But the reason why they're destroying this country and doing so at the level and intensity that they're doing it now is because there are loopholes, there are fundamental cracks in our structural, societal, and political system that have allowed them to do what they're doing. You know, it's like a dam that finally burst because it had all these cracks that we had 200 years to fix but never fixed. We had all this time to just at the very least begin to recognize the structural problems of integrity in this building and fix them. But we never did. We have to redo the building, but we're never willing to admit the need to do that. So we just keep going and going with the same thing, with the same building, thinking that somehow it will survive. That's why we have the disaster that we have now. And I know liberals are destroying the country. I know that conservatives think that all we have to do is somehow regain control, you know, quote unquote, and go back to the way we were, as if singing Barbara Streisand's song is somehow going to fix everything. If we go back to the way we were, we're just going to repeat the same cycle over and over again. Because the reason why we are where we are now is precisely because of the way we were. So if we go back to the way we were, we're just going to be repeating the same problem, and we're not going to be able to save the nation. And believe you me, the way things are right now, we will never even get back to the way we were. You know, that boat has sailed. We need to do a fundamental change because the only thing looking forward under the current circumstances is a total decline and a demise of the American nation. So we need to recognize the flaws in our system, flaws that have been there from the founding of the nation, and then start changing them. You know, we have to build a new house. The current house is collapsing. It was always flawed. It was always temporary. It was there for a purpose and a reason and a season. And we had to learn as we went along and then build a new and better house and then move to that new house. But all that we keep doing is just fixing up this house and fixing up this house. But eventually the house is not going to hold up and it's going to fall apart. So we need to build a new house. And that doesn't mean completely disregarding the current one. Yes, while we build a new house, we still have to do some work on the old house. But once the new house is done, then we can move to that new house and demolish this this failure of a nation that we have. And we have to admit that America's nation has failed. And we need to begin this process of restructuring the nation. We need to make a fundamental transformation of the nation, not the way liberals want to do it. But doing it the right way requires killing certain sacred cows that we keep worshiping over and over again. And that's the reason for this audio snippet. And it's a very brief snippet on the Founding Fathers, very brief. And as I share more things in these audio clips, please be aware that we're not going to go into great details because there's no point into going into great and gruesome details about things. I will leave that up to you, and I will share general principles. And if you have questions about things, you can do your homework on your own and find out the truth and the facts and the details on your own. But these audio snippets are intended to speak in general terms about a lot of issues. And hopefully we'll be sharing on specific concrete solutions and things that we need to do to restructure our social and political system so that we can restore this nation and have it survive before it's completely demolished. So let's briefly talk a little bit about the Founding Fathers. As many of you know, liberals hate the Founding Fathers. They always demonize them as these sort of evil monsters that crafted this evil, racist, misogynistic, monstrous nation. And the thing is, when conservatives hear that, they get so upset because, unfortunately, to conservatives, these Founding Fathers are like sacred cows. The conservatives worship the Founding Fathers, and they hate the demonization that liberals, you know, make of them. And yes, liberals are caricaturizing the Founding Fathers, creating these false images, these straw men that they create in order to destroy them and pursue their own agenda. But there are many things about the Founding Fathers that conservatives don't want to see. And because they continue to worship these men, then everything or anything that sounds like we're saying that they made a mistake is automatically considered some sort of false or satanic deception or some sort of slander. And because of that, we never learn from the mistakes they made. Therefore, we need to, first of all, just get that worshiping thing out of our head. We need to stop worshiping the Founding Fathers. And because if we don't get them off of those pedestals, and if we don't stop lighting candles to them, we will never rescue this nation. But having said that, it's important to mention that, yes, the Founding Fathers were in many ways remarkable men, brilliant men. If you go and read many of the things that they left behind, you will see that, I mean, the first thing you will say is, wow, these men were not ordinary people. They were not your typical politicians, you know, your typical power-grabbing bureaucrats. They were thinkers. And most of them were people of principle, people of character, people who had ideals and ideas about the future. And they were aiming for these ideals in some way, shape, or form. So it's important to say that, yes, they were remarkable men in many ways. They were, in many cases, brilliant thinkers. And it's not wrong to admire men like that, you know, men that have done great things or have great qualities. It's not wrong per se, because I personally believe that one of the five main ingredients in any human dynamic involves the rise of people that command a certain level of faith in them. In other words, people who are designed in some way to conquer, to go after the impossible, that have that sort of charisma or personality that gets others to follow them, to chase after the impossible dream and to conquer the impossible city. And it's important to have that dynamic happen in human interaction because it's part of the way that we as humans are able to conquer things that seem impossible. So we do need people that galvanize the will of others towards achieving a specific goal. People who go out and conquer great cities, and you know, and who rally people towards the goal of conquering impossible things. So there's nothing wrong with admiring men and saying, "Hey, I'm willing to go to the ends of the earth to follow this man, this person, you know, to achieve this goal." There's nothing wrong, inherently wrong with that. The problem is that if we do that, if we blindly follow the person, and just follow that person's will without having judgment and understanding in our hearts, in our heads, then we're headed for disaster. If you think about it, for example, one of the men I admire the most in history is Alexander the Great. And if you read up on him, you will see that he did amazing things. And he died, unfortunately, at a relatively young age, around the age of 29 or 30. But by the end of his short life, I mean, he had conquered most of the known world. And he started with a small city, a Greek city-state. And out of nowhere, he created this one of the greatest empires in history. And he did it in a short amount of time. He was a remarkable man, and he was able to galvanize the hearts of the soldiers who were with him. And they were literally willing to follow him to the ends of the earth. But even, you know, those who admired this man, the soldiers who followed him, were willing to question him, you know, because at some point, either when he was towards the end of his conquest or going back, you know, from the end of his conquest, Alexander began to get corrupted in many ways by the people that he was encountering as he went, you know, about conquering the world. And the soldiers that were with him began to see that corruption, and they were willing to call him out on it and to say to his face, "Hey, Alexander, you're doing these things wrong." Because, you know, these men were willing to give their lives to follow the vision of Alexander, of this man, but they were not willing to surrender their own independent thinking, and they were willing to judge him. And the good thing about Alexander is that, to a great extent, he was willing to listen to people who would criticize him, and he would adjust. But unfortunately, he didn't adjust enough in many ways, and I personally think that the fact that he didn't really understand what was happening to him is part of the reason why he eventually died so young. But the thing is that the example of Alexander just shows that it reveals the fact that, yeah, you can follow a person to the ends of the earth and achieve great things as you do that. But you can do that without losing your own sense of vision and judgment, so that you don't just follow people blindly. So, you know, these founding fathers are usually portrayed by conservatives, especially American Christians, as these holy angels that descended from heaven, who had this like perfect relationship with God, and who loved God and somehow had this divine message from above on how to build a perfect nation. And American conservative Christians tend to think of them as these perfect believers, that they were the perfect church-going believer who had this perfect belief in God and knew exactly what God wanted. And yes, it's true that many of these founding fathers were devout Christians, you know, men of profound faith, and there's no questioning that. But a fact that most American Christians don't realize or want to admit is that a lot of these men were not really the type of Christians that they have in their idealized brain. A lot of them were actually deists, people who believed in this more dumbed down version of God. They didn't believe in the Christian God, at least the way that American Christians nowadays would. They believed in a naturalized form of Christianity. You know, people like Jefferson, and even in his latter days, John Adams, for example, didn't believe in the miracles in the Bible. If you study up on John Adams, for example, you will see that at the end of his life, he was saying that Jesus was not divine. He denied Jesus's divinity. And that clearly would be like a blasphemy in the ears of a modern-day American Christian, but that's exactly what he believed. And so these men were not believers in the way that American Christians idealized them to have been. They were flawed. And there were certain things about them that made it very difficult for them to truly understand what needed to be done to form the perfect nation. Yes, they did a lot of good work, but it's not the perfect Ten Commandments from the mountaintop type of work or thinking that American Christians tend to make of all of them. So they were men. They were flawed, and for example, many of you have heard about, I'm sure, about Thomas Paine and who wrote the Common Sense pamphlet. His pamphlet was crucial in the American Revolution, to the point that I would personally say that had that man not written that pamphlet, that there might not have been an American nation. I mean, that's how important it was. And some people may argue maybe he was not a founding father, but that to me is irrelevant, because we can say at least that the man, or at least his ideas, were fundamental in the forming of this nation. So it is relevant to speak of Thomas Paine in the context of the founding fathers, regardless of the technicality of whether you think he was or was not a founding father. But this man, you know, wrote this pamphlet, galvanized the American will towards independence in a radical way. But if you read up a little more on him, you will find out that he wrote another publication called The Age of Reason, and that publication trashes Christianity. He denounced Christianity. He denounced a God of miracles and wonders. He thought that the Bible had tons of errors. So he clearly was not your typical church-going believer, the way that a lot of Christians would, you know, think of the founding fathers or of the people who formed this nation. And Thomas Paine was not an outlier. He was an example of the type of people, a lot of people that were part of that group that founded this nation. They were not these ideal Christians. I mean, if you look at Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, they were both deists. And those two guys were not the most moral of people, even though they did try to live a moral life in many ways. But for example, you might have heard of the reputation that Benjamin Franklin had in Europe about being a womanizer. And some of you may know that he abandoned his wife when she was sick. He stayed in Europe a long time and really didn't care for her. He came back to America, but he didn't seem to be interested in living with her and staying with her and caring for her. So she basically died alone. So that tells you a lot about the character of the man. And that doesn't mean that because he did that, then everything he did on the political level is wrong. That's not the point. It's just to point out that these men were not perfect, and they were not even close to perfect. We're talking about men who had fundamental issues, and therefore it's not a stretch to accept the possibility that a lot of their thinking was flawed. Well-intentioned as it was, and brilliant as many of them were, they had fundamental problems that we're living with even to this day. And in their thinking, that he had these fundamental cracks that we are living the consequences of to this day. So it's important that we stop idealizing them, and that we begin to analyze what they wrote. We need to recognize that these men were like a peculiar mixture of 18th century Christianity and the Age of Enlightenment, which is what makes it so difficult for the modern day conservative, and especially the modern day American Christian, to understand them. They had a great deal of philosophical baggage that seeped into their work and is wreaking havoc in the American nation even to this day. So we need to put their work under the microscope and question it. We need to look at the Constitution. We need to look at at the political system that they left behind. And we need to see if there were fundamental issues that we can identify and then try to correct so that we can produce a more perfect nation. And I know that this is a very brief discussion or description of the Founding Fathers, but I hope that it begins to at least push your mind towards realizing that these men have to be put on trial and judged. And forget about the thing about slavery, you know, the fact that some of them owned slaves. Yeah, that is part of a problem with them. It reveals a flaw in them. But that slavery issue is more related to something else that we will be talking about later on. So even if you forget that slavery element, that some of them owned slaves and all that, they still had issues that prove that they were not the perfect, you know, down from the mountaintop angels that most American Christians think that they were. And we need to put their work on trial. And obviously, it was a failure. Yes, it did achieve many things, but it still fell short. And we fell short because we allow 250 years to go by without ever examining what they did and correcting it. So I hope that through these audio snippets, some of you will begin to see or share what needs to be done to save this nation. Thank you.